me. You know, a lot of the guys, we kind of joke around, say that lamplighters is one of the hardest ministries to come speak to. I don't know why, you guys all look very nice. So apparently, I guess, because none of us have been moms, so it's like it's hard to speak into the situations. But I think about it, we've all been parents. Most of the guys have been parents, are parents, so we can at least speak to that. And personally, I think it would be harder to maybe go speak to, like, Prism. You guys know Prism Ministry, kind of the older folks. I've never been old like that, so. And they never asked me, so I guess that might be why. But I thank you for asking me, and I appreciate the opportunity to come speak to you guys. So this morning we're talking on biblical discipline, kind of a real fun topic to speak on. They wouldn't let me talk about 80s music the whole time, so they said something spiritual, please. So we're going to talk about biblical discipline. It's been a few years, I think, since I've come to speak here. I think the last time was when we were still at South Bay Church. So anybody from, remember? So it's all new folks, or maybe one. So that's good. Anybody hear my wife speak on discipline? A few people. So some of this might be a little bit rehashed. And then I actually spoke on this at Nightlights earlier this year. Anybody at that one? Oh, good. So you guys have heard a lot of this. So, but that's okay. It's good to kind of learn about it once again. So as Aaron was sharing, I've been married 13 years. I have two kids, 10 and 8. And, discipline is something that my wife and I have been learning and working on, and it's still totally by God's grace every day. You know, it's kind of this growing process. So I know it's not easy. It takes a lot of discipline, a lot of just kind of work as a team, you know, it's kind of being on the same page. I think there's a lot of confusion even, just what does the world say, what have we learned from our own parents, and what does the Bible say? And so my hope this morning is kind of just to share from Scripture, kind of biblical wisdom, and not exactly based on all my wisdom. I mean, I've been trying to work on this, but really what does the Bible say about discipline? So I think one of the first things to think through is, why do we even need to talk about discipline? What's the point of biblical discipline? I think to answer that, one of the things you need to think through is, what is the goal of parenting? What are you trying to do in parenting? Are you just trying to raise well-behaved kids? So for some of us, that is the goal, just well-behaved kids. Or maybe socially adept children. Or maybe kids who are just real successful in school or sports. You know, I think if we're honest with ourselves, these are all important things, right? We all want that. But hopefully, ultimately, our goal is to raise children who are worshipers of Christ, you know, so that in everything they do, sports, academics, in their behavior, they do it for the glory of God. And to do that, then, we need to instruct them on how to do this. And as the Bible says, you know, part of this instruction includes discipline. So discipline is an important part of our child-raising process. So with that in mind, why don't we open up in a word of prayer, and we'll kind of get into this. Father God, we thank you for this morning, for your grace that brings us here today. And we ask just that we come before your word with humility. I know this can be a very challenging and emotional topic, and just maybe even some confusion with it. And I pray that we come just to hear what your truth says, Lord. And we ask that your Spirit will give us wisdom on how to apply your truth into our situations, Lord. So we thank you, we praise you, and in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So this morning, I think we're going to spend a lot of time just kind of going through Scripture. I was thinking maybe we could do like a practicum, have you bring some of your kids in, and maybe we need to learn how to do this first. So on your handouts, everybody get one of these. I have most of the verses we're going to be using on here. So kind of this first thing says here, God's game plan. Fathers, Ephesians 6:40, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So if you were to summarize kind of our role as parents, I think this verse really does it. You know, fathers really speaks as parents, you know. This is what we need to do. We need to bring them up in discipline and instruction, okay? So it's a two-pronged approach. So when we talk about discipline, we can't just be disciplined, but it also has to involve instruction. You know, Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. So here the rod represents the idea of discipline. Reproof is instruction. And that's the goal, is we're trying to give them wisdom. Often we think of discipline, we're just punishing wrong behavior. But how often are we thinking, I also want to deal with my child's heart in this time? Help them understand why they're doing this wrong behavior. Help them understand how they can better worship God in what they're doing. So I think it's crucial to remember you have to have both instruction and discipline. It has to really come hand in hand. One of the things I like to do in my spare time also is play hockey. I play roller hockey in the league. And once in a while, you get thrown in the penalty box. You know, in hockey, there's penalties. And a good ref, he'll throw you in there, he'll tell you what you did, and he'll explain to you, you know, well, your stick was kind of too much here, or you kind of got in their way, and this is why I had to call you for this. And that helps, and I appreciate that. The bad refs just throw you in there and say, too much for this, and they don't talk to you. They just ignore you. And our parenting needs to be like the good ref. You know, if we're disciplining our kids, we need to explain to them what they did wrong and kind of help them in growth. Otherwise, it's just punishment. So this is our definition we're going to use for biblical discipline. I have it here. The process in which we correct our child's heart by driving out sin, folly, disobedience, and impart truth, wisdom, obedience, which leads to right hearts, correct behavior, and disciples of Jesus. All right, so that's kind of our definition. And I know some of you are here and you kind of just want the straight nuts and bolts, right? If my kid does X, you know, how do I respond with Y? You know, give me the flow chart so I just know for every situation. And the thing is, there is no such flow chart in the Bible. There is no such flow chart. What we have are these biblical principles, okay? And I think once we start understanding kind of these principles and guidelines, then we can start applying them to our children. And the thing is, our children, they're all different. All situations are different. Our children have different heart issues. You know, they may have the same presenting behavior, but underneath there's a different heart issue going on. As our children grow and mature, there's going to be different ways of disciplining and teaching them then. So that's why there's no one-size-fits-all for discipline. It's kind of how do we apply these principles. So I want you guys to warm up with a little case scenario here. Okay, I'm going to have you guys just share this at your table for about 5 minutes. Here's the scenario. 13-year-old son is playing video games and despite his younger brother's pleas to play, refuses to let him. Instead, he yells at his brother to leave him alone and go away. You've addressed this in the past, and there's the understanding that the two boys are supposed to share the video game console. So how would you specifically discipline your older son? All right? So spend about 5 minutes, just be honest, what would you do? You know, you don't have to give the great spiritual answer, but what do you think would be the thing to do in this? Okay, so spend a few minutes, and then we'll kind of keep going here. Thank you. All right. So I heard some good conversation out there. Yeah, most of you guys probably have younger kids, but this same scenario probably plays out like every day, right? Maybe not the video game or a toy or the iPad or something, right? And how do we deal with that? How do we discipline them? So we will get back to this as we work through this, okay? So keep kind of your answers in mind. But what I want to do is just spend some time. Let's talk about rod and reproof and just kind of get a good understanding of those two ideas. So point number one, the rod drives out sin. The rod drives out sin. So Proverbs 22:15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." So what are some of the ways that we do deal with kids' bad behavior? You know, what are some of the worldly ways or ways we do? One thing I see a lot is bribery, right? And we probably all have been there. I see it all the time. You know, Aaron's saying I work as a doctor also, and the parents bring their kids in, and they're not behaving, and it's always, you know, if you listen, we'll get you ice cream after. Or if you listen, we'll give you a lollipop. And part of me is thinking that's just not a great way to parent. The other part is, will you bring me some ice cream too? But, you know, you see that all the time, and we do that all the time because it's easy, and it works in the short run, right? It can work in the short run. Another way is we threaten them, right? If you don't come here this instant, you're going to get it, right? I've said that many times to my kids, and I'll confess. And, you know, you just kind of get angry at them, and you threaten them, and they know out of fear. They know when you're really upset, and they come. Or maybe we'll manipulate their environment. You know, you have a three-year-old that's always playing in the toilet, right? Instead of really disciplining them, what do? You just put a gate up so they can't get the toilet anymore, right? And you feel like, okay, now I've dealt with the problem. So we kind of work out the environment so that it's not an issue anymore. Or we may just let them figure it out. We give them a timeout. We tell them to go sit in the corner. We go tell them to go to their room, but then we don't really deal with it. We just kind of think that the time off, they'll figure things out. And the problem is none of these methods, you know, these kind of worldly methods, gets to the heart of the matter. You know, if you've been at Lighthouse, or I'm sure you've been learning here, the idea, the battleground for our kids is the heart. You know, it's the desires of the heart that are leading to good or bad fruit in the child. You know, most of our children, they grow up, they love themselves, they love pleasure, they love man's approval, you know, and what happens? Then he takes toys from others so he can be happy. He has a temper tantrum when he doesn't get to go to the park because he wants pleasure. Kids fight with their parents about what they should wear to school because they want to please, you know, their friends. They want their friends' approval. If we can get our kids to desire God's ways, then hopefully our kids will start wanting to share with others. You know, obey parents promptly. You know, they'll choose youth group over going to the school party. You know, so it's the sin in the heart that is the root of our child's problems, and that's what we need to deal with. And that's what this verse says. Folly is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. So you notice, God doesn't say, you know what, why don't you work on their behavior? Why don't you teach them to act properly? It says deal with the heart. All right. So the question then is, what is the rod? You know, there's a lot of writing and discussion and debate on this. So the biblical term refers to a stick or branch that was used by shepherds to guide, lead, reprove, and punish wayward lambs. So some people, they'll look at this definition and go, okay, that's good. Well, why don't we focus more on the guiding and the leading? You know, that seems a better way to nurture. But Proverbs 23:14 says, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol." So clearly the Bible does have the punishment side in view as well when it talks about the rod. You know, even the word discipline in the Bible, there's aspects of guidance as well as punishment. Okay, so I think it's important that we understand that the rod does speak of corporal punishment biblically. And the most common form of this then is seen in spanking a child. Now, the Bible, it doesn't say specifically where you should strike or how to do this. I think for many of the parents here, we just understand in the tush, it makes sense because there's a little more padding there. You're not going to really injure them, but also it gives them enough of a sting to know that there's a punishment. And I know there's a growing cultural taboo against this type of punishment nowadays, and you could potentially get in trouble, you know, legally even. But I would say the rod is what the Bible teaches. you know, and I think we want to be obedient to that. You know, there's a lot of good books about spanking and how to do that such, and you can read some of those on your own. But I just want to give you a few ideas to think through. One, it definitely is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. You know, again, the world teaches certain things. You know, you're going to hurt their self-esteem. They're going to become violent, this and that. I think if you do it properly, you end up with kids who love the Lord, who understand wisdom. And this is, you know, this is the principle that God teaches. So we do need to have faith, trusting that God's ways are better than what the world teaches. Number two, it is an act of love. You know, the most loving thing we can do is help our kids become more like Christ, to point them to Christ. And again, this is the biblical method for this. In Hebrews 12 says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." All right, so it's an act of love. We're doing it because we want our children to be more like Christ, to deal with the sin in their hearts. Now, some of you may have never spanked their child, you know, and there's a whole host of reasons. You know, maybe it's just you never understood it this way. Maybe your parents never did this. And I want you to just humbly just think through what Scripture is saying. You know, Proverbs 13:24, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son." I mean, that's pretty black and white, you know. If you spare the rod, you hate your son. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. All right. For my children, some of the things I think through when I discipline them this way. First, I make sure it is clear disobedience, okay, that they're clearly sinning. We've discussed this, and I've told them this is what they need to do. I know that they know, okay. It's not just a preference thing or their immaturity, you know. They just don't know better. But I make sure it's clear disobedience. I explain to them their sin. Make sure they understand this is why you're getting a discipline. Okay, we talk about it. And now that they're older, they can tell me. I don't even need to tell them anymore. And then I explain to them what their punishment is going to be. You know, daddy's going to give you a chastisement. And I make sure I check my own heart that I'm doing this out of love, not anger. You know, if I'm angry at them, then I need to walk away and make sure my heart's in the right place. And your kids, they'll know the difference in how you're dealing with them, how you're talking to them, and how you punish them. They'll know the difference. And then I use either my hand or we have a little wooden stick, which we named Rod. And go get Rod, and they know. And then, again, it's a little sting, not to injure. You know, you don't want to leave any marks. Just enough that they know. And then at the end, we hug and then we pray together. And I tell them I love them, you know. And then it's it. And we're done and everything moves on. And I make sure they're not upset or angry. If they still are, then we continue to talk and pray. And as we've done this, it's gotten to the point where, yeah, it's a quick thing and they know and then we move on. So that's how I've been doing with my children. So that's the rod drives out sin. If you guys have any questions, we'll kind of do a little question answer time at the end. So just maybe jot them down and we can talk at the end. All right. So the second idea about reproof then is reproof brings wisdom. Reproof brings wisdom. So Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, straight from Scripture. So again, the point of discipline is not just to punish our kids, you know, and hope they don't do it again, but we're trying to get their hearts to understand their own sin and their own idols. You know, as we drive these out, then we help them to understand and practice godly desires. So, for example, instead of having a child who wants to have control over every situation, a lot of our kids want that, right? They want to control their situation. We want to teach them that God is the one in control. And this type of teaching hopefully will lead to wisdom on their part. Not only do our kids learn to understand these truths, but hopefully they will live them out. That's one of our goals. So, say your kid struggles with selfishness. And what kid doesn't, right? And so you're trying to teach them to be generous to others, to love others. So hopefully as you've been disciplining through their selfishness, you know, they'll start living that out. You know, maybe when they're at school one day and one of their friends forgets their lunch, they'll be generous enough to share with them. Little acts like that will hopefully start popping up in their life. And he's starting to learn to apply God's truth and learning to be a disciple of Jesus. Hebrews 12:11, for the moment, all disciples seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have trained by it. The scripture tells us, you know, as a children learns wisdom, he develops this peaceful fruit of righteousness in their lives. And what parent wouldn't want that for our children? So the rod is to drive out sin. Reproof is to impart wisdom. Okay, so it seems pretty straightforward. It's basic principles, right? And so we could finish here and be done. But obviously, there's a lot more to it. How do we put this into practice? That is the trick. So this is our last point, putting it all together. You know, how do I do this? So again, one of the things we have to realize that this process of discipline, of rod and reproof, it evolves as your children grow. You know, I think it's important to think of it in maybe even different stages. So I kind of picked some main stages of our children's lives to talk about these stages and how discipline instruction will look in each stage and a little bit and how it varies. So starting with infancy to childhood, most of your children are at now, kind of birth to maybe 4 or 5. So at this age, kids, they're generally selfish. They're kind of clueless, right? They're helpless. In most part, they do whatever makes them happy, whatever pleases them. They don't have much of a filter, right? They don't really know right from wrong, left from right. You know, and so one of the key truths that we want to teach them at this age is that they are under authority. This idea that they need to learn to obey God through obeying their parents. So I kind of picked a theme verse for each age group, and this would be Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So at this age group, it's important for our kids to understand that you as the parents are in charge. You know, it's for their physical well-being and ultimately their spiritual well-being. And this is an important life lesson to learn, you know, so they know that they need to understand right from wrong, and they learn that through our parents. And so one of the key teachings we need to keep in mind as we're raising our kids at this stage, Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So we want to teach our kids to honor their parents. Usually at this stage, discipline is probably more rod than reproof. Okay, more rod than reproof. You know, their understanding is a little bit limited, right? You can't explain these deep truths to them yet at this age. So I think because of that, spanking discipline needs to be done quickly and associated with the offense so the child can connect the two and understand that what they did wrong was wrong and that they need to obey their parents. I think the instruction should be kept very simple at this stage, you know, and it will grow as your child matures. So for us, I think when our kids were about 1.5, okay, I think every kid's a little different here, but about that age, we could tell that they knew the difference between obeying and disobeying. You know, they could make choices that we could tell. And so when they were clearly not obeying, when we tell them, you know, I don't want you to reach for that or do this, and they would look at you and give you that little smile and then go do it anyway, you know that they understood and they're being disobedient. And I think as parents, we know that, right? So at this point, we would start giving them discipline. Sometimes just maybe a small slap in the hand or the thigh, enough to cause them to startle and realize that this is not right. You know, if it's a more major offense, we might spank them. And then the things that we'd focus on is telling them how important it is for them to listen to mommy and daddy. You know, they might understand exactly why, but that was they were under authority. That's what we're trying to teach them. And you know, as Deuteronomy says, this will give them a blessing, long life. But I think the one thing we have to be careful, though, is not just to produce kids that are well-behaved. Okay, we can't just discipline so that they're well-behaved. So otherwise, we just kind of create these little Pharisees, right, who just are trying to please their parents and act well. So I think we do want to start teaching simple truths at this stage. Even if the child doesn't fully understand, I think in time he'll start hearing these and grasping them. So even just God loves you, you know. God's way is good, and we should follow it. Those simple truths. We should trust God, okay? You love God by listening to mommy and daddy. Okay, these are very simple truths. As a little older, you know, teach them to love others. Share toys with others. Teach them to wait patiently for their turn. Teach them how to be kind to their friends. I think even at a young age, you can start sharing the gospel. You know, mommy forgives you because Jesus forgave mommy, and Jesus can forgive you too. You know, ultimately, you want them to obey, not out of fear, but because they love God and want to please Him. So we can start these little things now. And some of you are like, well, you don't know my little Johnny. You know, there's no way he'll understand these truths. I can barely get him to sit still, right? But trust me, my kids are once your kids' ages too, and I know it seems impossible at first, but if you take it one step at a time, one day at a time, these kids, they absorb these truths, you know, and they'll slowly sink into their hearts. I think we just need to consistently share and model God's love to them as parents. You know, we need to model forgiveness and just live out these truths for them to see. And we should be praying for them every day. We should pray that God's grace is working in their hearts, you know. And that's one of the things, too, that I talk to parents about. Don't just think that you do the right thing and you follow all these steps, that's it. But ultimately, we need to be praying that God's grace is working in their hearts and working through us. I think groups like this is great. You know, keep each other accountable in this. Pray for one another. You know, if you're struggling, turn to another mom and say, hey, this is a tough area for me, you know. Can you be praying for me? Now, what if you've never spanked your child before? Okay. If they're old enough, I think you should sit down and explain to them, you know, that you've looked through Scripture and you think, you know, God does call us as parents to discipline in this way. And maybe even if they're old enough, show them passages in Proverbs that we looked at. You can ask your kids forgiveness, saying, sorry, I should have been disciplining you better as a parent. And then, if you're going to move forward with this, explain to them, this is what we're going to be doing from now on, and these are the circumstances where you will get punished, you'll get disciplined, and how that will look. You know, it's never too late to start. Good thing, if you haven't, then you sit down with your husband, if you have a husband, and just kind of work on this together as well. So, for the infant-toddler stage, one of the key things to impart to your children, again, is that they're under authority, and they need to honor and obey God through the parents. Okay. So the next stage, then, is from childhood to teenager. All right. So at this stage, the child, you know, starting to make their own choices, starting developing their own personality, but they still need a lot of structure in their lives, right? They don't need to be constantly under our supervision. Many of them are off in school 6 hours a day. They start learning, they start choosing their own friends, they learn how to interact with their peers, they start developing their own interests, you know, music and sports and things. So I think the focus now needs to shift to character, okay? So child to teenager is building character. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You can add to that humility, honesty, compassion, thankfulness, integrity. Okay, these are things we want our kids to start learning at this stage as they start making bigger choices and decisions. So I think a good key teaching then is Ephesians 4:22-24. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to renew in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So at this stage, I think there's a little more balance now between the rod and reproof. Okay, you're kind of trying to shift more and more toward instruction at this point. The children, as they get older, they start understanding their hearts. I think my kids, at about 4, 5, 6, started understanding this concept of these desires and sin going on in their hearts. And we try to talk to them more and more about that. And so Ephesians 4, this is kind of the biblical process of change, how to help them deal with their hearts. You know, we teach them, you need to put off the old self, these old sinful desires, the selfishness, the desire for pleasure, things like that. You renew your minds and your thinking, okay? And this is where the gospel comes in. You need to ask Jesus to help you to change your thinking and your desires. And then you put on godly desires. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians 4:25. So Ephesians 4:25, this is right after this teaching of the put on, renew. He gives an illustration, Paul does. And he says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So what he's telling them to put off is put off all your lying, you know. And what you need to put on is speaking honestly, the truth. The renewal is because we are members of one another. Understand that we are all a family of believers, and we're all here to encourage and support one another. If your desire is just, I want to get what I want out of life, then you're going to lie and get what you want, right? But then you're not being a loving member of the church body. So that's one of the ways we could teach our kids. If they're lying and trying to manipulate to get others, teach them, this life is not just about you. You're in this family, our family, and the church family to love and support one another. So you want to speak with integrity and honesty. All right, so this is the kind of heart level we want to get to, help them understand. So when we're disciplining our children, then, we need to help them understand what's going on in their hearts. Why are they doing what they're doing? So how do we do this? You know, how do we get to the heart? I think one thing is just ask them, you know, why are you complaining about going to grandma's again? What's going on? Why does that bother you? You know, is there something you'd rather be doing? Would you rather be playing video games? Is that why you don't want to go? Or why don't you want to go to bed right now? You know, do you want to act more like an adult? You know, what's going on? Just ask them. And a lot of times, as they answer these questions, these why-type questions, you'll get a sense of what's going on in their heart. You know, why are you upset that you didn't score a goal today? Why does that bother you? You know, and I think oftentimes these idols in their heart, it won't just manifest in this one area, but you'll see a pattern in their lives. You know, if they're people pleasers, you'll see that going on in different areas of their lives. And as a parent, your job is to kind of recognize that and help your children deal with that. So there's no one way here to bring reproof. I think you need to tailor it to where your child is at. When my children got to about first grade, you know, they started to be able to write more, and we had been teaching them some verses. So what I would do with them, I would, if they don't have something, I would chastise them, and then I would ask them to write me a little paragraph. Okay, and I said, you have to pick a Bible verse, and they didn't know I would help them and explain why what you did is wrong and what you need to put on or renew. So recently, my son, he was being disobedient, so I had him do this exercise, and he picked Ephesians 6:23, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. And so he understood the put off was disobedience, and put on, he needs to listen and honor his parents and be respectful. And we talked about his heart, how oftentimes he just loves his own way. He wants to do what he wants to do. And so this helps them kind of work through this. My daughter recently used Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or questioning. This is one you may want to write down, because a lot of our kids struggle with this one. And so she used that one for her little essay. And we talked about how she needs to put on thankfulness, teaching her to be thankful for the things she has, and stop complaining, because her heart just wants her own agenda. I'm trying to show her that. That's what's going on in her heart. So again, this means that you've been working with your kids, right, and teaching them biblical truths. And even if your kids aren't there yet, you know, sit with them. Help them find these truths. And if you're not there yet, it's okay. I think this is a call for us parents to grow ourselves in Scripture and to understand hearts and our own hearts, so we can best help our children. I know it sounds daunting in many ways, but I think we just have to trust that as we live out God's Word, as we know God's Word and show this to our kids, that it will really help train and bring them up in his way. I think this also means, as I mentioned earlier, that as parents, you know, you and your husband need to be on the same page. I think one of the things that kids struggle with a lot is if the parents are inconsistent in their discipline, right? You discipline for one thing, but not another thing. Or one day you discipline for this, the next day you don't. Or the husband does it one way and the wife does it another way. So I think one of the things my wife and I do, we have regular times where just two of us sit down, and it's like this powwow where we strategize and we think about what we need to do and how we need to improve and work on our discipline, have a strategy and plan. And we talk about our kids' hearts, and we work together. What are we trying to teach our kids? What does she need to work on? You know, more recently, my daughter Taylor, she's 10. You know, I think she's struggling with people pleasing. We're starting to sense that in her. I think she has a lot of good behavior on the outside. You look at her, she excels in a lot of sports and music and academics. But I think some of her motivation is for man's applause, not God's applause. And so we're trying to help her, because we can see that in the times where it's not so open and she doesn't want to do it, or she doesn't want to practice as hard, or she complains. And so we've been talking about it, Amy and I have been talking about it, figuring out how can we continue to teach her in this area. And so try to be on the same page, you know, really continue. It's a process. Every week you should be talking about what can we be teaching our kids. So this is early adolescent stage with many of you have children in this stage already. Again, focusing on character by dealing with their heart's desires. Okay. And then the last stage, which probably not many of you have yet, but it's good to be thinking about now and to look forward to, the teenager stage. And we probably all remember this stage well. There's a lot of change going on during this stage, you know, hormonal changes, changes in terms of responsibility, relationships, just so on and so forth, you know, trying to decide what you want to do with the rest of your life, where to go to school. And I think with that comes a lot of insecurity, you know, insecurity of just how you look, changes going on in your body, insecure about what people think of you, how you fit in at school, about becoming an adult, about handling responsibility, about maybe a first job or even a relationship. I think even their own beliefs, you know, they're starting to hear and learn about world philosophies and ideas. So I think the main goal at this stage is to help these teenagers develop and live out a Christian worldview. Okay, develop and live out a Christian worldview. So Ephesians 5, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. You know, at this stage, these kids are off on their own most of the time, right? So are they walking wisely? Are they making the best use of their time? I think some kind of key areas, again, learn to fear God rather than man. Learn to follow God's instructions rather than the world's wisdom. Learn to walk in God's way rather than the way of the wicked. Those are the choices teenagers will face every day. So a key principle for this age is the sowing and reaping principle. Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. But can you understand, you know, as they become more independent, their choices and decisions will make long-term effects on their life. You know, if they're reaping sinful desires and choices, there's consequences. You know, they will sow difficulty in life. Proverbs 13:5 says, the way of the sinner is hard. But if they learn to sow godly desires and choices, life in general will be easier and they'll be more blessed. And this is a lifelong lesson for them and for us. So our instruction at this point really should focus on their choices and the way they're interacting with the world and how this interaction has consequences, good and bad. So at this age, there's much less rod and much more reproof. Oftentimes, the consequences of their bad decisions are discipline enough. I think, you know, people ask, when do you stop spanking your children? I think definitely at this age, probably even a little earlier. I think even my kids, it doesn't affect them. They'd rather get a spanking because it's fast and they're done with it, you know, and it doesn't even hurt them anymore. So I think at that stage, the discipline changes. We start taking away privileges now. You know, one of the ones they hate is taking away play dates or taking away, like, their iPad or something. So those are the kind of things you can start using to discipline them. But I think what you want to do is really start even being creative, so that the punishment can speak to their situation. Even the punishment can instruct and involve the heart, if possible. And this takes a lot of prayer and planning and thinking. But let's think about that 13-year-old boy who's hogging the video game console, right, with his younger brother. I'm sure this never happens with our Lighthouse kids. But so the easy thing is to take away his video game, right? That would be the easy thing to do. But the problem is, are you dealing then with his heart? Or are you just making him bitter towards you, you know? Is that solving things? Are you teaching him that he's being selfish, he's loving his own pleasure? Are you showing him what that reaps? You know, when you act like that when you're older in the real world, you're going to have trouble in relationships because all you're doing is you're taking and you're not learning to give and be generous. So one punishment, you could say, you're not allowed to play with your buddies for a week. Explaining, you know what happens? A heart of selfishness ruins relationships, and this is what it will look like. You won't be able to have good friends. So that would be a tangible consequence of what would happen if it continues down this path. You can even take a step further and help them with a put on. Teach them to be generous. So part of your punishment could be you need to serve your younger brother this week. Clean up his room, you know, do his chores for him. And help him understand this is the kind of attitude you should have in loving your brother. Okay, so you can see how that really is getting to his heart. You're using the punishment to speak to his heart, show him the negative consequences and what he can put on. So the sowing and reaping, it's very much like the put on and put off, but it takes it almost to another level. You're trying to tie all this into long-term consequences so they understand, you know, godly living, good choices leads to blessing. Bad choices leads to a hard life. You know, you're again trying to teach them to live out a Christian worldview. And the problem is the world, it promotes a lot of the opposite. You know, it says self-sufficiency, self-esteem, looking out for number one, he with the most toys wins. Those are all good things. But if he buys into that, then he's having the wrong worldview. So we want to train our children to think biblically. So again, this means that as parents, you know, I'm not there yet. Even my kids aren't quite that old, but I can see it. We need to be constantly involved in our children's lives. You know, it's already getting harder and harder as my kids grow older to be constantly involved. But we want them to help them understand their hearts, help them to recognize those idols that they're dealing with, and help them to put on godly desires. Again, not easy. I think these kids, they have so much influence from the outside. Media, school, friends, teachers, and so on. And there's no way we're going to be able to protect our children from all this, you know. And instead, we're much better off just teaching them to think biblically, desire biblically. And then we can be confident that as they're out there, they'll know how to make wise choices and have discernment. Now, the one thing, realize these aren't like hard and fast stages, you know. Some 3- and 4-year-olds can understand the heart already, so you can start teaching them about the heart. Some older kids need to understand more character issues, you know. Some teenagers still need to understand obedience to their parents. So I think there's a lot of overlap going on. And so, again, that's why there's no flow chart. What I think you should do is just think through these principles, you know, obedience to authority, putting on, putting off, renew, sowing and reaping, and think, how does it speak to this situation? How can I point my children to Christ in this situation? And be flexible with it. So, I mean, as you can see, just kind of hearing all this, biblical discipline takes a lot of work, right? You know, someone earlier was saying, just give them a beat down and you're done, right? It takes a lot more than that, obviously. You know, we need to be very diligent in this. Understand this is our call as parents. That's what God calls us to do. This is how we love our children. We bring them up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. But remember again, ultimately it is the Holy Spirit that changes hearts. Our discipline is really the vehicle through which God's grace is working. Okay, the discipline itself is not going to solve all your problems. It's the vehicle through which God's grace works. Change, it doesn't happen overnight either. You're going to find yourself disciplining your kids over and over for the same thing. You probably already have seen that, right? They don't learn it in one day or one sitting. And so be patient with them and continue to help them understand what's going on in their hearts. Continue to pray for them. And just trust God will do good work. And finally, the idea, hopefully you understand, discipline, it always involves teaching. But teaching doesn't always involve discipline. All right. So discipline obviously is needed when our kids are disobedient. But I think as parents, we should be teaching at all times. You know, we should be having regular time of family worship and devotionals, seizing the teachable moments that come up each day, and just continue to give sound teaching to our children through these times. I think when that happens, then it's so much easier to discipline them because they already understand what the truth is and what's going, what they're doing wrong. in the heat of the moment, it's that much more difficult to teach them truth. But I think when you're doing it regularly, when in a good, comfortable, safe family time, you know, then you can really help them understand these truths and then help them to put them into practice and gain wisdom. So hopefully this was helpful, just in the sense of giving maybe a little structure and clarity. I know this is a big task, but also a big privilege for us as parents. Know that as leaders, you know, we are praying for you guys. You know, we know parenting is so challenging, and you know, we went through a whole parenting study in our church recently. If you need kind of resources, counseling, any guidance or prayer, we're definitely here for that. You can come talk to me. I put some resources at the bottom of this, some good books you can look at if you don't have them already. So yeah, just know that we are praying for you. All right. But let me close in a word of prayer, and then we'll have a little question and answer time if you guys have any questions. Let's pray. Father God, we do recognize that this is a high call to be parents, Lord. And it's a great responsibility to direct our children to know and love Christ and to grow to be worshipers of Christ. And we recognize that the world pulls us in so many different ways. We want our kids to excel at this and that and be like this and that, but help us to know that ultimately we want them to be worshipers, Lord. And help us also just to be humble and diligent in this task, knowing that it takes a lot of work and doesn't always have much glory in it, but we know it's a great task and it does bring glory to you, Lord. And so help us to grow as parents in our discipline and instruction, and just to love our children all the more in this way, Lord. So we thank you, we praise you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Right. So I guess we can open up if you guys have any questions. Yes. So you yourself struggled with it? Yeah. I think one is to work on your own heart. You know, I think a lot of us struggle just with anger is probably one of the big things. I don't know if that's the case with you. Seek accountability in that. Pray that God continues to work in your own heart. You know, I think we can't use that as an excuse not to. We need to work on ourselves. And continue to try to be obedient in that area. I think it's also important to ask for forgiveness from your kids if you've done that. And to talk to parents about that. If you do spank your kids out of anger, make sure you ask them for forgiveness. Because, again, they know, right? How does that help?
I just don't want to do it at all.
I
like, find some other way that really hurts them.
I think the Bible's fairly clear at a young age the rod is important. So I think you do need to find some way where there is a corporal punishment to it. You know, as you get older, that we move away from that. I think it is important because at a young age, there's not many other things that are as effective, I think, is the problem. You could talk to them or give them a timeout, but I don't think they would quite understand that there's that punishment involved. So I encourage you to kind of just try to be obedient in that area. Yeah, I know it's not easy. Yes.
How do you know, like, how many times kids they go? Like, do you just do one big, you know?
Yeah, I don't think there's a particular answer. Like, yeah, it doesn't say in the Bible how many times, but I think enough that they feel a sting and know that there's a punishment. You don't want to do it where they're like, is that it, Dad? You know, that's what they say to Amy sometimes now because she's not as strong. Gerald just look at her. So that's why we stopped that. But I think you should let them know. You know, it's going to be one time or three times. Or, yeah. I don't know why. I've generally done it three. I think before you spank them, you need to get them to calm down. You shouldn't be spanking them while they're screaming and crying. That's why I sit and talk to them first, and we talk about what happened, what's going on, and this is what's going to happen. You're going to get a spanking. Yeah. But you don't want to do, yeah. If your purpose is to get them to quiet down, that's not going to work.
So, even if you feel that threats or timeouts are effective, and at the same time you are combining that with teaching, that would you say spanking is still necessary in that case? If you feel that things, other things outside of that are being effective,
yeah.
You are teaching. And
like I said, I think earlier on, I think spanking is needed. It's more effective. As they get older, I think that can adjust, and many parents will stop spanking at a certain age once they feel there's other ways. But there still needs to be some type of discipline, some type of rod. Yeah. But again, I would say earlier on, the other methods just aren't very effective. So. Yeah. Yes.
How do you deal with tantruming? Because, like you said, you can't spank them to get them to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
But like my daughter, she just gets so crazy, she can't calm herself down.
You may have to wait until they calm down, and then have a talk to them, and then discipline them. Yeah, because in the middle of it, I don't think it's very effective. So.
But then, how do you address it afterwards? Like.
You tell them that was wrong. You know, you need to practice self-control. You know, during that time, you may have to just give her like a time, remove her from the situation so she can calm down. But she needs to understand that that's not proper behavior. Yeah, a lot of times it's lack of control and they're maybe trying to get intention or get what they want. Help them deal with that. That's not the proper way to get what you want. You can ask nicely. If you don't get it, then they need to be obedient. Question? Yes.
So if you are like angry in that moment, right, then I guess would you say that you, because you said for the younger ones you should like discipline right away, but if
right.
You're angry in that moment, it's kind of, you know, it's hard to discipline at that moment. So, then
so you need to take a little time to check your own heart.
And then, so it's okay to wait a little bit until
yeah.
You are
right,
right, and then go back and then explain to him.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's more appropriate. Like with really young kids, you know, like what we used to do, if they were in a restaurant or at a supermarket and they were misbehaving, we'd actually take them out of the car and discipline them there. So we waited for 3 hours to get home. They probably wouldn't be able to connect it at that point. That's what I mean by trying to do it quickly. But, yeah, definitely check your own heart first. Yeah.
And if it means it's not right away, you just wait.
Yeah, if you have to. You should at least wait until you're calm, because I don't think it's very productive if you're angry.
Yeah.
But hopefully you're not angry for too long. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
So you should always tell your kids that don't do this again or you're going to get disciplined. Like, you should tell them that you're going to get disciplined, because then they're disobeying your instructions, right?
So I think that's part of kind of make sure you're always teaching them. So as they grow older, you should help them understand what is right and wrong and set clear guidelines for them. And then if they break those guidelines, then they should be disciplined, yeah.
So they're just like, tantrums just because they're kids. That's not worth
discipline. I think if you've talked to them and you said this is not appropriate and yet they're doing it, I think it is. That's not practicing self-control. Yeah. Yes?
I don't know if it's a clear answer to this necessarily, but just for myself, sometimes I find that I feel like there's maybe like 5 or 6 things like that come up in the day. Maybe they don't necessarily stem from the same like heart issue for my kid, but was there ever a season where you and Amy were like, okay, there's a lot of things we could address, but we're going to focus on these two? Because I guess I struggle with like, oh, it just seems like
not okay to ignore and not discipline over certain things, but hard to just kind of feel like you're shotgunning anything.
Right. No, absolutely. So we do, like I said, like with our kids right now, there's kind of the main things we see that we're trying to focus on. And there's always, every day, every hour, little things pop up, right? And so we can't address every single one every time. But we try to get to it at some point. You know, we don't want to totally ignore it. But there are certain ones we focus on more. So with our kids, our instruction, we have a weekly family worship time where we kind of try to address the big, if there's a big thing we want to just kind of, this week we're going to talk about this. So we might talk about humility 1 week and righteousness 1 week and just kind of really help them understand these bigger ones. But every morning we do a short devotional, and those are the times where we might point out, you know, yesterday this went on, you know, I want you to think about this. So kind of address little things at that point. Those are real 5-10 minute times. So, yeah. It's a constant, yeah.
If you have kids close, so I have kids close in age, but if I were to discipline my older son, do you do it in private? Or, because my daughter would go crazy if I just closed the door on her, because she's not even 2 yet. So would you say do it in front of her, or close the door? Because you're supposed to do it in private.
Yeah, I didn't talk about that, but I would say you should do it in private. Just for the kids' sake, too. Yeah, we never do it in public. And even if we're home, we take them to, we close the door and keep do it in their room. Or.
But then the other, like, what did you do with the younger kids?
Let them play.
Yeah. Did we close the door?
Yeah, it'd be quick. And we can tell them just, you know, Daddy needs to talk to Taylor right now. I want you to sit here.
So just let her. Yeah.
Practice self-control. Yeah. And then you discipline her for going crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's hard. I think one, if it's sinful, you need to address it, right? So not saying hiding someone's not necessarily sinful, but if there's sinful behavior. Otherwise, if it's more personality type things and things, I think you have to, again, try to get to their heart. You know, is it just kind of how they're made, or are they people pleasers? Are they afraid? You know, so what's going on? I think, again, that takes knowing your children, talking to them regularly, and just seeing if there's these patterns show up, you know, and then if so, just address it. And those aren't always discipline issues. Those are more just teaching and counseling type times where you can just help your kid understand this is why you maybe struggle with this and help them to think maybe more biblically in that area. So. Yes?
If your kids don't seem genuinely repentant, you can't have a lot because... I mean, my kids know, like, we do the whole thing. We do the thanking and praying. They say sorry. I mean, they do that, but I think sometimes at some moments, it's like they're just doing it because they know that that's what's expected. They have to pray. They have to go through that whole thing. And then do I just, I mean, even if I can tell and even if they would know that they're not repentant, I can only say so much of, like, you know, we need to be sorry. And then, like, do you just kind of move on and then just, hope that
was,
is that what being faithful to the discipline is? Or do you think you just, I don't know,
can't just spend every
all day.
Right.
Be
genuine.
I pray that their
minds
will change over time, but in that moment, do you kind of just move on with your
faith? Yeah, I think I would. I think you have to take them for the word in the sense, you know, and even if you recognize, yeah, maybe they're not totally genuine, then that's something that you're going to slowly work on. Because, yeah, a lot of them will be like that. They know that if I act this way, I'll get out of this. And, you know, they're not perfect. They're a work in progress, just like us. So, yeah. I think we've done a talk or two here at church. I think maybe Pastor Kim did. I know years ago he did a little video with his kids kind of showing one. So I think it's online somewhere. I'd have to go look. I think at one of the nightlights, when we did parenting nightlight, I think one of the topics was family worship. So you can look at there, but just off the top of my head, I think we I lead it, and we always have a time of song, just singing and praising, and then a short teaching, application, and prayer, and it goes maybe 20 minutes or so. It's brief, but it's a wonderful. The kids love it, you know. They ask for it, so it's a good thing. Yes.
Have you ever had your child do the same wrong action that you talked about so many times, and you're just so tired of it, and then you give them the consequence, and I don't know if it's the same question with Sarah, but and then they come to you and they say sorry, it just feels like deja vu, and you're still upset. Have you ever had a time where you're just from the most part, I can say that I'll hug him and I can give him and I love you and I kiss him because they're my adorable children. But there are times where you're just I need a moment. I need some space. I'm still mad. I just can't forgive you right now. Have you ever had those moments? I'm really upset. Because I want to be honest with how I feel, but I know I want to share the gospel with them in the way that we, resolve our break in our fellowship, but I also want to be able to share Christ. Forgive us and love you. But there are times where I'm not God and I'm human and I need some time.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of the sanctification process. I think being a parent is very sanctifying. Disciplining is very sanctifying because it really brings out our own hearts, recognize our impatience, our lack of forgiveness. I think those are good things to think through. Why am I not forgiving my child? God forgave me for all my sins. And so I think it's definitely a sanctifying process and good to think through. I think all of us parents have gone through that. You're not alone in that at all. And we've all had kids who do the same thing over and over. And you discipline them over and over, and they keep doing it. That happens. So, that help.
is it okay to show that you're upset? I want to be real.
I think if you're honest with it and say, mommy's growing too, and confess that this makes me angry and I shouldn't be angry. It makes me impatient and I shouldn't be, and I'm trying to work on that. And God's teaching me to grow in patience and in these areas to show him that, or show your children the same thing. Yeah, I think it's good to be real in that sense. Yeah, but always pointing to Christ in that, in God's grace. Yeah. And to the speaking to the point where sometimes our kids are kind of doing the same thing over and over, one of the things I've recognized in my own parenting is part of it is because I've gone too lax in my own discipline. One thing Amy and I talk about is we need discipline right away, first time. If you start giving them chances, then they know, they keep pushing, okay, three times before they spank me, so I'm just going to kind of not listen the first two times, right? And so we recognize that the more consistent we were with it, the better they would adjust and would grow in it. And the times where we were slack and lazy about it, that's when they would really start becoming disobedient again. So it's good just to think about, evaluate our own discipline in that as well.
Sorry, can I ask another question?
Of course.
So if you tell your children to go upstairs and brush your teeth,
okay,
and they're still playing, do you respect first time obedience?
Yes.
Or straight
away? It's hard, huh? It's one of the hardest things, but
if they don't,
you should. or you should discipline, depending on their age. And I think when we do that consistently, the results are good, and they start seeing how important it is to obey us, you know. But I know there's times where we get really lazy in that, you know, and then everything else falls apart too. They start, yeah. Any other questions?
Yes. What age should they be able to do things by themselves? Like, you tell them to go brush your teeth and they just go without you having to be right next to them to help them.
Right. Well, obviously it's different for every kid. I think parents know best and know when. I don't know. I would say for our kids maybe around 3 or 4, if I remember. Yeah, but again, every kid's a little different, you know. 5. Somewhere like 8. Yeah. Any other questions? Good questions. Yes?
Discipline for behavior where you're not there, like if they're being babysat or in some school.
That's a good question. I think it's important to do, especially if the babysitter or the Sunday school teacher tells you this is what happened, then you need to talk to your child. And usually, children at this age are honest. They're not going to lie to you, oh no, I didn't do that. They'll admit to it, and I think they should be disciplined for it in the same way. Yes.
Do you feel like it was a little harder to stick your daughter than your son? Or did you feel like it was more dependent on their personality already, if they're more prone to be obedient more naturally?
I didn't find it hard. I mean, it's hard either way, but I didn't find it hard because she was my daughter or he was my son. Yeah. He's tougher, though, so he didn't cry as much.
In line with that, like, my daughter's the same way. My son, one's spanking and he's just bawling, and my daughter is, like, three spankings and then she starts to cry or something. Mm-hmm. Did you, like, taper it to, you know, because one was very effective for him, whereas one for her, she just, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, is
absolutely.
It okay to give her more because it's just not affecting her? Or is there, do you switch to a different discipline at that point?
Eventually you should. But when they're really young and you should be spanking them, then you still tailor it. So I think all the discipline needs to be tailored, you know, to your child's situation and what is effective. Some kids, they love timeouts. They love being in their own room, you know. Some kids hate it, you know, so you can't give them something they're going to love, right? So, yeah. Yeah, some kids, you take away their play dates and it's like the end of the world, and others, no big deal. They'll just read a book. Yeah, so you... well, that is kind of the goal of parenting, so it's kind of everything we do. That should be the goal of discipline, you know, instruction. I mean, there's no one way.
I think I teach him, but he's like, I don't think he's a care, you know. Or
right. Right. Modeling it is important. I think the challenge at this age is you don't know if they're really saved. You know, and so without God's grace working in them, there's not that true obedience and true love. You know, so part of our work is evangelism until they're truly saved. It's just sharing the gospel and living it out for them. You know, so in some ways they are Pharisees, you know, if you're going to be honest about it, right? But the hope is by exposing the gospel, living it out to them, that God will work in their hearts, you know. And so I think you have to look at it that way too. Any other questions? Yeah.
What if it's not like discipline? Like, what if your kid, like, hit another kid? You know, it's like, all right, you're gonna get beat. You know, like, what if it's not? Like, that's not really not listening to your instructions. Like, you can be wrong.
So, should you discipline them? That is that the question?
Yeah. Like,
yes, I think if you've explain them, they shouldn't be hitting other kids. And when they're really young, they may not know, you know. But if you've had that discussion with them and they know that they shouldn't be hitting, then you should. And it takes some judgment on your part. It's not easy. You know, you're trying to read their hearts and see if they are sinning or just being their age, you know. But if you've talked to them and you feel they understand, then I think you should. All right, thank you again.
Thank you, Jason. I'm sure coming to spend your morning with us. I know it's busy.